Welcome to another Arscast on arsblog.com in association with classicfootballshirts.co.uk. And coming up in this show, we will have the winner of the classicfootballshirts.co.uk competition. One lucky person will get £100 worth of store credit. So that's coming up a little bit later on, so stay tuned for that. Also on the way, we have got Arsene Wenger Hawkins. The man in the bar will be here with another player history. I go deep into nature for some good reason, which you'll find out later on. And there's a blog chat with Jimmy the Cuckoo from Arsenal Talk, in which we discuss the Spurs game and, you know, the Bolton game coming up and various other blog chatty type things. I'll also try and answer a couple of your questions, and there might be some other interesting stuff in between. There might not as well, so don't hold me to that. It's been rather a good week football-wise, hasn't it? We played on Sunday against Manchester United, 1-0 down with 10 minutes to go, against the league leaders. And then we bring it back to 1-1 with Robin Van Persie scoring a great goal. And then Henry's header was, you know, as good a header as I've seen him score. And it really reminded me of the header David Platt scored in the 97-98 season when we were 2-0 up at Highbury. And that cunt Teddy Sheringham brought it back to 2-2. And then late on, I think it was from a Nigel Winterburn corner, David Platt scored a brilliant header into the top corner to make it 3-2, and that was a brilliant win against United. So to win it so late as well and to leave them gutted was just fantastic. Then on Wednesday, we had the first leg of the Carling Cup semi-final against Spurs. It did look a little bit dodgy for a while, with 2-0 down after sort of 20 minutes. First goal, bad mistake, I think, by Kolo Touré. He should have cleared that no matter what he heard behind him or didn't hear, as the case might be. And an own goal for Baptista from a free kick that never was. But the boys showed tremendous spirit and tremendous character and fought really hard to get back into the game. And, you know, it was very impressive, particularly given the age of some of the young players that were out there. I suppose the one that caught the eye the most was Danielson, who looks like a carbon copy of Cesc. His composure on the ball, his passing was excellent. And what I really liked about him was that he was always looking for the ball. You know, he was turned and faced his centre-halves and looked to take the pass and then bring it on. He looks like he could be a very good prospect indeed. The only downside, I suppose, to the last few days are the injuries that we've suffered. We're really going to miss Robin Van Persie, who's going to be out for at least 6 weeks with a broken metatarsal. And depending on you know how quickly things go, he could be out for anywhere between 6, 10, 12 weeks. As I said on the blog, Preston striker David Nugent did exactly the same. Metatarsal, the fifth metatarsal, which nobody had ever heard of until about 3 years ago. He did that and was back playing and scoring within 6 weeks, and he put it down to drinking a lot of milk and high calcium. But I suppose some people are just faster healers than others, and hopefully Van Persie is one of those. He's been on fire this season. He's really stepped up and shown that he's a top-class player, and I think we're going to miss him. What it does give, though, is obviously Julio Baptista more playing time. I keep calling him Julio because of all the years I lived in Spain, but it is Julio, as people have been emailing me to remind me. Alexander Hleb, according to Arsene Wenger today, he's done his hamstring, which we saw, you know, in the game. He went off clutching his hamstring, and maybe there was a possibility that it wasn't too bad, but according to Arsene Wenger, when I'm recording this on Thursday morning, it doesn't look good, which is a real shame. I know people's opinions about Hleb are very divided. I think he's a very, very good player. He's an important player for us now. He made a big difference when he came on last night, and it was a real shame to lose him. I think with him out injured, with Freddie Ljungberg out injured, our options on the wings are a little bit limited. Theo Walcott looks a little bit away from being first-team material at this stage. Obviously, more playing time is going to help him, but he really looks like a 17, 18-year-old at this point in time. So maybe, if he's fit, Eboué can do the job on the right-hand side, because he did look good when he came on, and sadly, he picked up a knock as well and was hobbling around for the last 10 minutes. But hopefully, between Kleb, Eboué and Van Percy, they won't be out for too much longer. What we will get back soon, though, is Gilberto Silva. Not on Sunday against Bolton. I think that's the last game of his three-match ban, but he'll come back nicely rested. And after his efforts and some really, really inspired performances, you could probably have done with a bit of a rest. So there you go. Football-wise, a very satisfactory week. Hopefully we can keep that up on Sunday when we take on Bolton in the FA Cup, a game live on Sky. And obviously there's a bit of history between us and Bolton, and hopefully we can get some measure of revenge for the defeat up in the Reebok Stadium earlier this season. And that brings us nicely to this week's blog chat, which I said earlier takes takes place with Jimmy the Cuckoo from Arsenal Talk, another Arsenal blog. So without further ado, here's this week's blog chat. All right, this week on the Arscast, we welcome beautifully named Jimmy the Cuckoo from Arsenal Talk. Hello, Jimmy.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very good, thank you. Yeah, always cheerful to enjoy winding my mum up because she's from the dark side. So she gave me a call at half time last night, but she wouldn't take my call at full time. So hello, mum.
Oh dear. At least you managed to escape that faulty gene that runs in your family.
Yeah, well, my dad's red and my mum's white. He's doing his own ironing for the next week, so I feel a bit sorry for him.
Well, you're lucky you didn't turn out pink in that case. It's been a good week, hasn't it, to be an Arsenal fan? United on Sunday and Spurs last night.
Yeah, cracking. I've never subscribed to this Man United are our rivals thing. Sunday was brilliant, but, you know, coming back from two goals down against them, getting a draw is better than beating Man United for me. It's always about them. I'm a traditionalist in that way.
Let's step back in time a little bit. Go back to November. And when things weren't going right for the team, we had away defeats, you know, at Fulham. And I can't even remember where else. I blocked it all out. But November wasn't
Bolton,
a good...
Bolton, as usual.
Yeah, Bolton. If you had said at that stage that this was a squad or a team that could, you know, come back from a goal down with 10 minutes to go against United to win 2-1, and to come back from 2-0 down away from home against Spurs in a cup semi-final, I think most people would have doubted you. There's been a big change, hasn't there? Do you think the team has turned a corner in terms of attitude and spirit?
Yeah, definitely. I think the Hamburg game was the turning point for me. Having seen the Moscow game and the battering that we gave them without scoring, to keep going when we were having a similar night against Hamburg and get the two late goals to take that game 3-1, I think that was the turning point. And since then, I think our home form has improved. We've still had the odd Everton and Portsmouth moment. But yeah, I feel a lot more confident when we're behind. I always felt Sunday would be a single goal game because it usually is with Arsenal and Man United. But the way we came at them that last quarter of an hour, there wasn't a team I don't think who could have lived with us.
It is after a slow start at the new ground. It's slowly becoming quite an intimidating place for people to come now, isn't it?
The noise through the TV, unfortunately for me, on Sunday was as loud as I can remember it. Hopefully, they said the acoustics were right for keeping the noise inside. You always felt with the open corners of the Highbury that you were, you know, singing to the people out on the street in the chip shop, but you certainly feel that when the team are performing, the crowd get behind them. It's still a separate issue as when the team aren't performing, whether the crowd are getting behind them, but, you know, with ticket prices and all the various things we could talk about that you know, changed the demographic of a fan, I think you're always going to get that. But generally, it's beginning to feel like home, isn't it?
It is a bit. I mean, I think the team, I'm sure we're conscious of the fact that maybe people weren't getting behind them as much as they should, you know, when things weren't going well. So I think the best way to deal with that is to make sure you win.
Definitely. And Henry only said what needed saying, didn't he? You know, he took a lot of stick for what he said in the programme and about people leaving early. And, you know, I live 80-odd miles away and sometimes, you know, you think, oh, maybe I should leave early because I've got to get to Finsbury Park, then I've got to get a tube out to Cock Fosters, then I've got to get up the A1 and all. But, you know, if you're a supporter, you're a supporter. You don't support your team because of their results. You support them because they're your team. And I just hope that we can avoid falling into the trap that certain other Premiership clubs who've won the league twice and playing blue are falling in at the minute, where their fans seem to be turning on them. Every Chelsea fan I know seems to be moaning. And to me, that's outrageous.
It's remarkable, isn't it? You know, the
it's funny.
Well, of course.
Very funny.
Of course. Do you think, for example, the... when Arsenal went up to Anfield in the Carling Cup and they won 6-3, and at the end of the game, the Liverpool fans were there and they were singing, you know, that song, you know, which they always sing. And a number of people have sort of suggested that it's that kind of support that sort of allows or excuses bad performances. Whereas, you know, they're going to look at it and say, well, you know, we're just supporting our team. We want to show that we support them, even though they've just got, you know, hammered by a bunch of Arsenal kids. You think there's a bit of something we could learn from that?
I think so. It used to be classed as north-south divide, didn't it? If you supported a north-eastern club, you were a passionate fan, you were fine, Middlesbrough accepted. But, you know, you're a better supporter if you support a northern club because they generally stick with their team better than the London clubs or the southern clubs, for example. And, you know, maybe there is something in that, but it's going to be interesting because at some stage we're going to lose at home, and it could be next week, and it could be to them. And that is when we'll see a true test. It's easy to be a fan when things are going well, very easy. You know, you can always shirt down the shops and all that sort of stuff, can't you? Yeah. It's when it's not going so well that maybe the Liverpools and the Newcastles, their supporters possibly give them that little bit extra, I think. Imagine, but I'd like to think we've got the best supporters anyway.
Imagine what Newcastle would be like without those supporters. They'd be in the fucking third division.
Well, I saw that the other night when they played Birmingham. They'd all gone home, hadn't they?
All right, on Sunday, another cup game. So it's a week of cup football, basically, before we hit the league again. Bolton at home. They've been a bogey team for us, you know, essentially, you know, away from home. We have a reasonably good record, you know, against them at home. But how do you see Sunday going?
Would you win against them, I think, in any level, in any competition? I think that probably last season's defeat to them in the cup, we actually played well up there. You know, I think we hit the post. Lundberg played quite well. Obviously, everyone remembers the Van Persie miss kick. But I think we did okay. In the league, we just don't ever seem to perform when we play them. We are almost scared of them. But, you know, big stadium, the crowd that we've talked about, hopefully we can. I think if we beat them, we'll give them a hiding. Middlesbrough beat them 4 on Saturday, didn't they? So they're not that good. But it's whether mentally we are in the right position to say, right, I'm sick of losing to Bolton, let's go out there and play them off the park. Our website's been long promoting Kevin Nolan as an England player and a potential Arsenal player, and he's not really done it this season. That would be one thing that worries me, because he usually puts in a performance against us.
Do you think he's good enough to play for Arsenal?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, he gets it, he keeps it simple. He had been in a habit of scoring goals, but then Flamin is getting it, keeping it simple and scoring goals. So, you know, maybe not now. But a couple of years ago, definitely, he would have been the man I'd have chosen to replace Vieira, 100%. The Anelka factor is something, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, I mean, he was quoted in the week. I'm not sure if he was misquoted, whether he said he was just looking forward to going back to play Arsenal, you know, at the new ground, or if he was sort of hinting that he would love to return to Arsenal as a player, you know, to work under Arsene Wenger again. And I think we've heard in the past about how Wenger had always sort of envisaged Henry and Anelka up front, and that is a forward line that would scare the shit out of pretty much any team. But there's really far too much baggage for Anelka to come back, and we've got, you know, in Van Persie and Adebayor, you know, two players who've worked hard at Arsenal and deserved their chance ahead of somebody who fucked us over a few years ago.
Yep, definitely. I mean, as a player, brilliant. As a family, what a load of Muppets the brothers were, definitely. And, you know, we struggled to recover from losing him for a short period of time. We weren't the side that we were. As a player, I'd love to have him back, because I think he would be that fourth striker that they talk about every Premier League club has for. You know, if you're asking me whether he's better than Ali Adier, you know, 7 days a week, definitely. But as you say, Van Persie, who I've never really been a huge fan of, but I'm having to eat a lot of humble pie at the moment, he's turned it round. And Adebayor, I seem to remember you being a little bit of a critic of him in previous times. He's turned it round. His work rate, phenomenal, and you would never get that work rate from Anelka. However naturally talented he is, he wouldn't be, you know, spotting the ball for Van der Sar and chasing lost causes down. I think he's been probably Adebayor could be our player of the season at the moment.
He's been very impressive. I'm quite happy to eat, you know, humble pie in regard to him. And I think
I'll eat humble pie over Robin then as well. We'll eat humble pie together.
Baptista, let's have a quick word about him. He was not particularly good last night against Spurs, but he scored 2 goals. And he's, as somebody on the Arseblog forum said, I think it was Tiny, so name check to you, Tiny, he's our ox in the box. It's a sign of a good player, isn't it, that, you know, he can play badly but still crop up with 2 goals and get us back into the game.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the last round, he scored 4 goals, but there was probably 2 or 3 players that played better on the night at Anfield than him. Almunia and Ali Adier being 2. Last night, the own goalie was unlucky, I suppose. It could have gone anywhere or off anyone. But, yeah, you're right, he's taking his chances. And at the moment, I think, oh, I'd like him to stay, definitely. You know, and I'd like him to see a little bit more action maybe in the Premier League. I think he'll probably play Sunday, I would hope.
Yeah, you would think
he's a good player.
Yeah, you think now that Van Persie's out and Ali Adier is obviously injured again, which...
Shock.
I know. I couldn't believe it when I saw him go off. I was, you know, aghast. But yeah, no, I think he'll get some more time, and maybe there is that thing that he needs to adjust to the Premiership and to English football. You know, and he's been here, you know,
you subscribe to that? I often think that's rubbish. If you're a good player, you should be able to play in any league, I think. I mean, you know, Henry took, 11 games, Bergkamp probably 10 games, but after that, they weren't adjusting for the rest of the first season.
I think as well, Spanish football is so different, though, in terms of physical contact, in that the minute anybody touches you in Spanish football, it's a free kick, you go over, the ref is going to protect you in that regard. It doesn't happen the same way in England. And I think as well, the pace of the game in England is much different to Spain, in that Spain is quite slow. It's that old slow, slow, quick, quick, slow sort of thing going on. So it's quite calm. And then there's bursts of action and bursts of pace. Whereas, you know, you play against somebody like United or Wigan or Man City or Wigan or anybody, and they're going to come out of the blocks at 100 miles an hour and stay like that for most of the game. So I think it does take some adjustment, maybe not for somebody like Henry that maybe played in France.
Top draw player, maybe.
Yeah, or Bergkamp that, you know, was used to something similar in Holland, where, you know, you've got teams, difference between the top teams and the bottom teams, that the bottom teams really have to make up what they lack in skill with physical effort. Technically, across the board in Spain, you'll find, you know, the players are much more technically gifted than they are in England. But we'll see. I think there's probably something to it, particularly for South American and for players coming from Spain. All right, then. Give us a quick prediction for Bolton on Sunday.
I like how confident you are with your prediction, so I'm going to go for 4-0.
Excellent. I'm good with that.
There you go.
I'm good with that.
And they'll know where to find me, all your listeners, if it's wrong.
Exactly. You've jinxed us.
actually. The gateway to the fen.
Yeah. All right, Jimmy. Thanks a million.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks a lot. Okay.
Thank you, Jimmy the Cuckoo, and we will have another blog chat on next week's Irishcast. Now, ahead of the Carling Cup semi-final against Spurs, I decided to go into nature a little bit. I did a little bit of exploring, put myself in a very dangerous situation, as you can hear now. Hello, I'm recording this very quietly because we're about 15 yards away from a Spurs fan, and we're observing him in his natural environment, which is obviously wallowing in his own filth. He can't see me, but I have to keep very, very quiet. And we can watch the things he does. There he goes now. One of the main rituals is he's picking the poo out of his own arse, and there he goes. He's eating it. Yes. He looks to be enjoying that very much indeed. After he's finished his meal, he'll continue wallowing and cover himself in filth, and then try and attract a mate with the typical mating cry of the Spurs fan, which hopefully he'll display for us now.
No, no, no.
Yes, there he goes, yes. And he'll continue that for most of the evening, in between drinking pints of Strongbow and reading the horse racing pages in the Daily Mirror. It really is a fascinating creature. You don't often see them this close. It's quite dangerous because you might catch Spursness off them. And let's face it, nobody wants that. It's very important, though, that we can... Oh, I think he might have seen me. His ears are pricked up. He's looking this way. Oh, he's definitely seen me. I better get out of here. I have to say, that was just a little bit too close for comfort, you know. That guy chased a car for about 3 miles. Seriously, talk about stamina, just relentless. Anyway, that's what happens when you get a bit too close to the Spurs fan. Be warned. Now, as usual, I went down to the local bar to speak to the man in the bar who has another player history for us.
Ah, there's yourself again, fair lady. Are you looking well this week? Come here. I meant to ask you. The lads were asking me what your name was. Arse blogger. The fucking sort of stupid name is that? Arse. Anyway. This week I'm going to talk about Lee Chapman. Now, many people think of Lee Chapman and they think of a great big tall blonde piece of shite. And they'd be right. Lee Chapman joined Arsenal from Stoke City, so it was, for a fee of around £200,000, which, when you convert that into today's money, is €76 billion, which is a fucking lot of money for a big, tall piece of shite like him. He played 23 league games for Arsenal and scored 4 goals, which is a fucking miracle, because the cunt couldn't hit a fucking cow's arse with a banjo most of the time. We sold him on then in December of 1983 to Sunderland, and he ended up playing for Leeds. And I don't think you need me to tell you what a bunch of poxbags they are. After he retired, he married a TV star who was so in love with him, she got an operation to make herself look like a fish. It's true. And then they had a daughter called Tracy Chapman who had a hit with a really fucking terrible song called Fast Car. That was Lee Chapman. Nobody was sorry to see him go. Sadly, he's not dead yet, but we're working on it. Now, kid is a point, you cunt.
And the man in the bar will be back next week with another player history on the Arse Blog Arsecast, brought to you in association with classicfootballshirts.co.uk. And speaking of those chaps, they gave us £100 worth of store credit to give away in a competition last week, and thank you very much to them for that. And thank you very much to all of you for your entries. The question was quite easy. All I wanted to know was who currently wears the number 5 and 6 jerseys for Arsenal and who was wearing those jerseys beforehand. Previously, the number 5 was worn by Martin Keown, number 6 by Tony Adams, and of course at the moment they are worn by number 5, Kolo Touré, and number 6, Philippe Senderos. And the winner of the competition is, if I click around in my email and pick one at random, is Andy Glynn. So well done to you, Andy. I'll be in touch with you to get your details, and I'll pass them on to the lovely chaps at classicfootballshirts.co.uk. Now, despite me trying my very best to encourage you to leave audio messages for the Arsecast on the Arsebyte system, which you can access, as usual, via the Arsecast page, which you can find the link to on the right-hand side of the Arseblog homepage, not very many of you do so. One person who does, though, on a regular basis, is Igor the Brute. Igor's been on again, and this week, instead of Ashley Cole, he's got something to say to Robbie Savage.
Well, Robbie, tender is the savage. You remind me of little Goldilocks. Goldilocks, come taste my porridge. Come sleep in my bed. And all night, in a cellar filled with violent screams, I will whisper you my secret dreams. And as we both lay there on the floor, I will tackle your ass till you can't take it anymore. And Goldilocks, when Igor is done with you, you will be wearing diapers for a month.
Personally speaking, I think it would be a good idea to stay on the right side of Igor. Igor, thank you, as always, for your measured and thoughtful contribution to the Arsecast. Now, I was going to do the questions that you sent in during the week, either by email or, of course, we know already that nobody but Igor has left a message on the Arsebyte system. But there doesn't seem to have been too many. I think people only want to ask questions when there's something to give out about, which I suppose is fair enough. The only thing I will mention is Teo from Melbourne has organised a group called the North Bank Down Under, and they're Melbourne-based Arsenal fans who will be having a get-together on the 24th of February in the Charles Dickens Tavern. Charles Dickens indeed. Be there by 11 o'clock, and if you want more details on that, you have to go to a website called www.melbournevictory.net/forum. And if I remember correctly, Melbourne Victory are the local team there who seem to have almost exactly the same logo as we do. Check it out, melbournevictory.net/forum. And if you do have a question for the Arsecast, all you have to do is email arsecast@arsblog.com. That is arsecast@arsblog.com. Or you can leave an audio message. The instructions on how to do that are on the Arsecast page, which you can find the link to on the main Arseblog homepage. Now then, Mr. Arsene Wenger Hawkins, he's here. Take it away, AWH.
Hello, everyone. Firstly, I would just like to say that Robbie Savage having his leg broken was nothing to do with me. Even if a bank transfer shows that I sent money to a particular Watford player, I can assure you it was for something completely different. Honest. No, really. A funny thing happened to me late on Wednesday though. I was watching my team play their fierce rivals and I wheeled into the technical area to complain about the referee's decision. From the stand behind me, someone shouted, "Sit down, you pedophile." That wasn't a very nice thing to say to me, so I went up to him and said, "Say that again, big man." So he said, "Sit down, you pedophile." "I was hoping you'd say that," I said. I pushed a button on my wheelchair and shot a photon torpedo up his arse, exploding him into little pieces. You have to say, any man who calls another man who isn't a pedophile is a stupid cunt, wouldn't you agree? Can you imagine what sort of organization would have 35,000 stupid cunts calling one man a pedophile? To have that quantity of moronic, brainless, shit-eating bastards in one place is very impressive. What is it they say? Birds of a feather flock together. Great minds think alike. In this case it's tiny minds. Teeny, tiny, bitter, haven't won a league in 45 years minds. Sadly, I don't have 35,000 photon torpedoes, but I heartily endorse the idea of ethnic cleansing when it comes to these cunts. Oh, yes.
Thank you, Arsene Wenger Hawkins. He'll be back next week with more of whatever it is that he does. And touching on that point very briefly, I spoke to the FA this morning, this being Thursday morning, and asked them what their reaction would be or has been to that chant that the Tottenham fans were singing at Arsene Wenger and that we've heard at Manchester United. The woman I spoke to said that they'd received three or four emails that morning about it and also my phone call. So they're going to send the issue to their compliance unit and if need be, they'll talk to Tottenham Hotspur, but we'll won't hold our breath on that one. Final part of the show then is our bet of the week with thanks to bluesquare.com. That's www.bluesq.com. This week, Simon Wolf says, Arsenal take on their bogey team Bolton this weekend, but at home at Ashburton Grove, they'll fancy themselves to qualify for the next round. Cesc Fabregas has been in mesmeric form of late, and the young Spaniard can be backed at 5-1 to be man of the match on Sunday. So if you fancy Cesc to be man of the match on Sunday, get down to bluesquare.com, www.bluesq.com, and place your bets now. That's it for another Arsecast. We'll be back next week with another one. Amazing. Until then, have a great weekend. Fingers crossed for the lads on Sunday, and I'll talk to you next week. Cheers. Bye.